We're going to take a look at Christmas. We're going to look at it from a little bit different angle than maybe you've thought of it before. But we want to come off of what these children did. And the whole title of this is More Than a Story. Have you ever noticed that we focus so much on the story of Christmas? Now, the story is important. Because God predicted, He didn't predict, He prophesied exactly where the child would be born and so many different details. The story is really important, but it's more than a story. You hear the phrase used a lot that Christmas is celebrated around the world, and literally it is. There are believers in countries all over the world that celebrate Christmas. But it's not just believers. There are people that know the story of Christmas all over the world. People in other religions know the story of Christmas even though they're not believers. Muslims know that, well, that's when believers, when Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. They know bits and pieces of the story, maybe sometimes more bits and pieces than you do, but it's more than a story. It's deeper than that, isn't it? You know, I Googled yesterday, I Googled Christmas just to see what would come up. And one of the first things that popped up, I wrote it down as a quote. Christmas is a time when family and friends come together and remember the good things we have. Really? That sounds a lot like what? Thanksgiving. Absolutely. We just swapped a turkey for Santa. And it's like Thanksgiving with presents. But when we hear that Christmas is celebrated around the world, when you go into a store and you're greeted, well, Merry Christmas, we equate, well, they think like I think. They are celebrating it because it's special to them like it is special to us. And that's where our mistake is. Even churches will focus on this story. Pew Research. Are you familiar with them? If maybe I need to explain it a little bit. Of all the research firms, Pew does a lot of polling, especially with religious questions. And you get a lot of good research that's very reliable from them. Pew, in one of their research papers, they found out that 90% of Americans celebrate Christmas in some form or another. 90%. Wow. That would make us a Christian nation, right? You know what's funny they found? Only 46% said that Christmas had anything to do with something spiritual. 46% said that it's more, or that it's nothing more than family and friends coming together and enjoying good times, giving presents. But you look around and everybody's singing the carols. You know, you turn on 96.9 and it's from Thanksgiving to Christmas Day. It's nonstop Christmas music. There's people that decorate their yards. They decorate their cubicles at work. I mean, they wear antlers to work and things like that. And nice looking Christmas sweaters and some of the most hideous looking Christmas things. Everybody is celebrating Christmas, and everybody knows the story, so we're all believers, right? No, and that's the thing. What I'm telling you is it's more than a story, because you can know the story as well as these children did. Sometimes you may even know a few more details than these children did. But that doesn't make it real in your life. Matter of fact, let's go back to Pew just a minute. I'm going to refer to notes. I don't usually like to do that, but there's so many percentages in here. I want to make sure I'm accurate. of the people, that registered on these surveys that they were believers. This is not John Q. Public. These are people that said, I am a born-again believer. You with me? Of believers. Well, it's the story. 66% of the believers said that they really felt like that Jesus was born of a virgin. Of believers now, 66% believe that Mary really was a virgin. How about the whole manger and the straw and all that good stuff? Well, that obviously is a little bit more believable. 75% of believers say that they think that part of the story is accurate. How about the wise men following a star, coming from distance, bringing their three gifts? 68%. This is believers now. This is not polling the people that are in your neighborhood or at your work. This is like polling us. Two-thirds of this building would believe what God said. But there's a third that says, I don't believe that. How about the angels announcing to the shepherds that their Savior has been born? 67%. Are you ready for this? How many believers said that they believe all four of those elements? The virgin birth, that he was born in a manger, that the wise men came, followed a star, brought gifts, and that the angels announced it to the shepherds. How many believers said that they think all four of those are true? 57%. Half and just a sliver more. Everybody else says, I don't buy that. Not in your neighborhood, not at your work, not at your school. In our churches, people that say, I am a believer, and I love Christmas, I love to decorate and hang those little things on the tree, and oh, we've got the cutest ones that our kids made. How many of you save those every year, right? You've got a tree that's got little pieces of construction paper with cotton stuck to it, right? You've got those hanging on your tree. Or the little hands that have been cut out. And you're, you know, these are Mary's little, you know, first grade or whatever the case may be. We sing the songs. We decorate our houses, our yards. We greet each other, Merry Christmas. But it's not about the story. And we can't get beyond that. You're going to see in the next couple of times where we meet, where people are interviewed and asked, what is your definition of Christmas? What is Christmas to you? The next time, in 2 weeks from today, the interviews happen at a mall. These guys are standing at a mall, and they're just stopping and asking random people that come by, what is Christmas? Tell me what it means. Tell me what it's about. What is Christmas to you? Well, preacher, why are you talking about this to the church? Because we know the story. But it's more than a story. And it's the church that said, I don't believe that. It's the church that said, Mary wasn't a virgin. It's the church that said, I don't believe the wise men. I don't believe the angels. I just don't believe what God said. I love to decorate. I love to give gifts. But it's just a story. Well, in your bulletin today, in your worship guide there, I've got two questions that we're going to really talk about for just a little bit. And your answers to these two questions, the first two questions on there, and then in 2 weeks, I've got two more questions for you. Then on Christmas Eve, there's just one question because we don't have much time. There's just one question on Christmas Eve. How you answer these questions is huge. Because your eternity hinges on your answer to these questions.
Wow.
Okay, well, let's get started, all right? Here's question number one. We're talking about it's more than a story. Did this story really happen? Well, that hinges around this question. Was Jesus a real person? Well, duh, sure he is. Really? Really? Because there's a lot of people that say he's just a myth, that it's just tradition. How do you know that Jesus actually existed? That it wasn't just stories that were written by the leaders of the religious movements of that day and time. How do we know? How could you prove it? What evidence do we have? Let me give you two or three things really quick. A lot of information today, man. Be ready to write, all right? All right, so historical evidence is out the wazoo. There is more. Historians said this, and I should have gotten the direct quote, but they said there is more historical evidence in the fact, the reality that Jesus Christ lived than any other event in ancient history. There is so much documented by all the ancient writers, by the ancient Greek writers, by the ancient Roman writers, by the ancient Jewish writers. Josephus was kind of the most well-known, that document the time, the place, different events throughout his life. Jesus' life is the most well-documented event in all of ancient history. Wow. Archaeology paints the picture of the reality of Christ as well. Because everything that we have in those writings and in Scripture has been backed up by the archaeological finds that are happening every day in Israel. Oh, I'd love to take you there one day. Everything that you're going to hear about today, all the places that we mentioned, the Scripture that we read, you will go there if you go with us one day. All right? Just a quick commercial. But there's so much archaeological evidence that substantiates that. Biblical evidence, that's what we'll deal with. The biblical evidence has never been contradicted. Everything the Bible says has been backed up by history, by geography, by archaeology, by everything else. Let's bring Pew back into this thing again. Let's go back to what people believe. Let's go back to the Americans, population as a whole, all right? Pew said that 92% of Americans believe that Jesus was real. You know what? That accounts for the people who are Americans that have different religious beliefs. That accounts for the people that are declared themselves as atheists. You know, so that 8%, I can probably believe that. You know what tickles me? You've got this group of atheists that says that Jesus wasn't real. But every time they write today's date, you know what they're declaring? That he's real. Because he divided time in half. When he came, time was divided into B.C., before Christ, and A.D., which stands for Latin words meaning the year of our Lord. So the very fact they put on their document, they put on their time cards, they put on their checks, if they write checks, every time they write the date, they're declaring that Jesus was real. I wonder if they realize that. There's so much evidence. Let me give you something that you can really hold on to. It's not just the story. It's not just whether you believe that angels spoke those words to the shepherds, which God said they did. And if you doubt that, then you can't believe anything God said. Because you can't pick and choose about Scripture. You can't say, well, I believe this and don't believe this. Either you do or you don't, right? But it's more than a story. But it all comes down, one of the huge, fundamental, foundational, pivotal truths, however you want to phrase that, is who is this baby? Everybody worships this baby. But who's the baby? Well, people in the mall, you watch in 2 weeks when they interview these people, whose birthday is it? Jesus. Everybody knows Jesus. Who is Jesus? God's Son. But that's as far as they can go. Who is this baby? And as long as you keep this baby anonymous, as long as you keep this baby in this manger, as long as you don't recognize who this baby is, that this baby was Almighty God who left heaven and came to earth, this little baby didn't grow up to become God. This little baby was 1,000% God on arrival. That little baby was 1,000% God in Mary's womb. That womb that contained the presence of Almighty God. Her womb was the Holy of Holies, just like in the tabernacle. Remember behind the curtain when the presence of God was, and it was such a holy place? That was the womb of Mary, because this was Almighty God. And whether you believe that or not determines your eternity. Was Jesus Christ really God? Was he just a religious teacher? Was he just a nice guy? Was he a leader? Right? The Muslims believe in Jesus. Do you know that? Does that make them saved? Are they believers? They believe that Jesus was real. They don't believe he was God. And so many other denominations here in America and religions around the world acknowledge Jesus Christ. But the question comes in, who is this baby? Is Jesus Christ Almighty God? And how you answer that is part of your salvation. Because if you say no, if you say maybe, if you say I'm not sure, I don't believe that, then you've discredited, then you can't believe anything that God said. If you discredit the validity of Jesus being Almighty God, then you can't believe what He said about heaven. You can't believe what He said about salvation, about forgiveness. You can't believe anything if you can't believe that. So what are the evidences? I want to lay a case out for you, like a little legal drama here this morning. I want to lay a case out for you. I want to give you some proofs. I want to give you some evidences this morning that will prove to you that Jesus is Almighty God in human form. All right? You got your pen? You ready to go? And we're going a lot of places this morning really quick. So hang on. Was Jesus Christ really God? Here's the first thing. Number one, he calls him, the Bible refers to Jesus as God. Several places. John, just jot these verses down. John 1:1 says this: in the beginning was the Word. The Word is a reference to Jesus, the bodily form of the heavenly God, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jehovah, Almighty God. Jesus is Almighty Jehovah God. Look at another verse in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, who is who? Jesus Christ. Let's give you another one. 1 John 5:20. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Let me give you one more. Colossians. These are all references to God. Scripture talks about so many places that Jesus is God. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, the attributes, the character, the personhood of Almighty Jehovah God, all the fullness of Jehovah God lives in bodily form. Jehovah God left heaven and came to the earth as this baby. He was all God as if He were not human. But He was all human as if He were not God. We're going to deal with this in 2 weeks. He was the perfect God-man because He had to be. He had to be in order to die for us. But in dying for us, if He wasn't Almighty God, then His death was a joke. His death was a waste. His death on the cross would be no different than if I was nailed to a cross for you. Can I save you? Is my blood pure? Have I got any way to forgive your sins? Absolutely not. And if Jesus Christ is not Almighty God, then the cross, the resurrection, all of that is a farce. This is a big deal. The Bible talks so many places and it refers to Jesus as Almighty God. Let's take it to the next level. Not only do the writers refer to Jesus as God, but Jesus Himself claims to be God. So many different places. Let's look. Do you remember in John chapter 5, when Jesus walked into Jerusalem? And this is one of my favorite places when we go there. You walk in the gate, just coming right up from the Garden of Gethsemane, and you go in that backside gate right there. And the first thing you come to is the Pool of Bethesda. Remember when Jesus went there and said there were all these people that were laying around this massive pool, and the ruins of that are still there. And they felt like there was a tradition that said that at certain times angels trouble the water and the first one in the water would be healed. And so Jesus walked through this crowd of people and asked this one man. Scripture said he'd been laying there for 38 years, hadn't moved. He was lame, had to be brought there. Or probably he never left there so that he could work his way down closer to the water. And Jesus says, "Do you really want to be healed?" And so He healed this man, and boy, that caused a real stir. Not only the fact that He healed him was a problem, but He healed him on the, oh boy, and that stirred it up. The religious leaders were absolutely ticked. Let me take you to this passage in John chapter 5, verse 16. Oh, there it is. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute Him. In His defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father," okay, that's a big deal. "My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill Him. Not only was He breaking the Sabbath, but He was even calling God His own Father and making Himself equal with God. Jesus claimed that He was God. How about later on when Jesus was in Jerusalem at another time? He was there for the Feast of Dedication, which we know today as the celebration of Hanukkah. And so He was there for the Feast of Dedication, and He was there on the Temple Mount, right there at the temple. And the religious leaders, they were in a discussion with Him. And so they come right out. Do you remember this story? They come right out and say, "I wish you'd just tell us, you know, if you're the Messiah, would you just say so?" Remember what He told them? He said, "I have told you. I've been telling you this for a long time now. The problem is you won't believe," right? Let's pick up the story. And He says, "I and the Father are one." Oh, when you would speak to the Jewish people about Almighty Jehovah God, who was so revered, so reverenced, so worshiped, and Jesus said, we're the same person, verse 31, again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We're not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be Almighty Jehovah God. Wow. Another place we go when we're there. Remember when Jesus had been arrested and they took him to the home of Caiaphas and they were beating him and they were holding all these different tribunals and courts and everything. Remember the high priest finally looked at him and said, are you the Messiah? Boy, and I mean, this was a real crescendo because, I mean, things had just really reached a boiling point. And he point blank asked him, are you the Messiah? Remember Jesus' response? Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? I am. Remember we studied the I ams and what that meant? Oh, the Jews wouldn't even write that. They wouldn't speak those words because that was holy, because that's how God identified himself. Ooh, all the way back in the Old Testament to Moses and the burning bush. Remember when Moses said, who do I tell them has sent me? What's your name? And he said, my name is I am. Oh, I am, said Jesus, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Oh, we could go to story after story after story where Jesus proclaimed himself, I and the Father are one. I am Almighty God in the flesh. Well, other biblical writers specified that Jesus was God. He claimed that for himself. Here's a third proof, a third evidence is this. Jesus had the authority that only God Almighty could have, right? He had the authority that only God could have. So remember in Mark chapter 2, remember the story of, and I know I've said this before, but this is one of my favorite places when we go there. This is in Capernaum, and this is in Peter's house when they lifted the roof off. Jesus was teaching in the house, and it was so packed, and the whole town had come, and they wanted to get this paralyzed guy to Jesus. Remember, they brought him. They couldn't get in, so they go up and start digging through the roof. Right, making this huge mess. They lower him down right in front of Jesus, right where the religious leaders were seated there. And so Jesus said, well, let's look. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, if you're just tootling through Scripture and this is just nothing more than a story, you don't understand the impact of that statement, especially in the presence of these religious leaders who had been sent there to check this new guy out. You go and see what he's saying. Oh, when he said this, he lit them up. Verse 6. Now, some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? You know what they're saying? Only God has the authority to forgive somebody's sins. A man can't forgive another man his sins. I can forgive you for a hurt that you do to me, but I can't forgive your sins. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and take up your mat and walk? He's saying, you know what? If I forgive his sins, you can't see that. You can't touch that. It's not tangible. But if I've got the power to forgive his sins, I've got the power to heal him. And if he gets up and walks out of here, then you know that his sins have been forgiven as well, right? Let's do something visible that you can see. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And he got up, took up his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. The authority. Remember, there were several occasions when Jesus said, all authority under heaven has been given unto me. Remember when Jesus said, I tell you what, let's just look at this verse real quick. In John chapter 5, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. We read the verse a little earlier that he's coming on the clouds of judgment to the earth. When people stand in judgment of God, it's not God the Father that they stand in judgment in front of. It's the Son. God's given the authority of judgment to the Son. Jesus has authority, this evidence in the Scripture, that only belongs to Almighty God. Let me give you a fourth evidence really quick. Jesus has the power over nature. Not only does he have power over nature, but he created nature. When we think of creation, who created the world in 7 days? Well, God did. Well, which person of the Godhead? The Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? Well, they were all involved at different places, but it was the Son, it was Jesus Christ, who Scripture says was the Creator. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He not only has the power over nature, He created nature. Now let your mind wander through your Bible stories and Scripture and think of all the different instances where Jesus overpowered the forces of nature. The very first miracle that He performed, remember that, was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Remember, right? And in that wedding, they had run out of... So He changed the water in these stone pots into the best wine they had ever tasted. And so that changing of the structure within water so that it became wine was His power over the forces of nature. Remember the story of the Sea of Galilee? When the storm was raging there and He was asleep and the disciples, they were going to the other side and man, the waves were swooping over the boat and these professional fishermen were scared that they were going to drown. And so they come and they wake up Jesus and they said, Lord, don't you care that we're about to drown? And Jesus stood up and looked at the powerful wind and the rain and the storm. And He said, be still. And about 4 hours later, it started calming down, right? Instantly. Like glass. Remember what the disciples said to each other? Who is this? Who is this? What was their next sentence? Even the wind and the waves obey Him. He had the power over nature. Remember when He fed the 5,000 with the five loaves and the two fish? 5,000 were the men, didn't count the ladies and all the children. There was probably 20 or 25,000 people that he miraculously broke apart and it multiplied, broke apart and it multiplied. He had the power over nature to do things like that. Do you remember the story when he was entering this town and they were going to bury this young son and the mother was there and she was weeping and he stopped him and he raised this son back to life? Do you remember the story of the man whose daughter, he had come to get Jesus and was taking him home because his daughter was sick, and the servants met him on their way and they said, don't bother him. She passed quietly. And Jesus took this dad and his family upstairs, ran everybody else out, and he raised this little girl back to life and gave her to the father and the family. Remember his best friend? What was his best friend's name? Lazarus. Oh, Lazarus had been dead 4 days when he got there. And he told him, he said, roll the stone away. And the lady said, listen, he's our brother. We love him to death, but I don't think you want to do that because he what? He stinks. He's been dead 4 days. He started rotting. You don't want to do that. Jesus told him to roll the stone away. And then he said, Lazarus, what? Come forth. And Lazarus came to the door, unwrap him, and let him go. He had the power over nature, over life and death. That's proof, because only God has that kind of power. Let's look at number 5. He has power over sickness and disease. The number of times where Jesus healed. Well, go back to when they let him down through the roof. That was at Peter's house in Capernaum. Remember the first time Jesus went home with Peter? It was to heal Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick in bed with a fever. And he took her by the hand and he healed her and she got up. The number of times where Jesus healed the sick. He healed the lame, like there at that pool of Bethesda. He healed the blind man, right? There were several people who were born blind. Remember the guy in John chapter 9 when Jesus reached down and made some mud and put it on his eyes. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam and you'll be clean. We go to the pool and we get in that pool. And so it's like, oh boy, the Bible just comes to life. He washed in what he could see. Boy, the authorities said, hey, who healed you? I don't remember the guy's name. He didn't tell me his name. What did he do? I don't know. Famous line, John chapter 9, John chapter 9, verse 25. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, I once was, and now I, wow, what power. What power he had. There was no sickness. There was no deformity. There was no disease that Jesus didn't have the power over. Only God could do that. Not a legend, not a myth, not a nice guy, not a little preacher. Only Almighty God in heaven has that kind of power. Let's look at a sixth thing. Jesus has the power over His own death and His own resurrection. There were 5 different times when Jesus told the disciples as they were nearing the end of His ministry with them. He told them, all right, here's where I'm going. We're going to Jerusalem. Here's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be betrayed. And it's going to be by who? It's going to be by one of you. I'm going to be killed by the religious leaders. I'm going to be buried. And on the 3rd day, I'm going to rise again. 5 different passages lay that out, right? Let's look at one. Let's look at one. Look at the one in Matthew 16. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the 3rd day be raised back to life. 5 different times he laid it out there exactly how it would happen down to the nth detail. And how many of these prophecies came true? Every one of them. Every one of them. Jesus had the power to orchestrate things so that prophecy was fulfilled down to the letter, right? Even to the place that it was death by crucifixion by the Romans and not stoning by the Jews. Remember Pilate said, "You judge him, you kill him." Well, they said, "Well, our law says we can't." If they had, would they have crucified him? No, the Jewish execution was what? Stoning, which would have not only been against Scripture, against prophecy, but it would have broken bones. And one of the prophecies out of the Old Testament was not one bone would be broken. Jesus had the authority over His own death so that He could fulfill that Scripture exactly like it was written. And then you can't see this part in English, but in these original languages, there's different persons, it's written in a different person and a different voice, so that Jesus was not only raised from the dead, but it's that middle voice that said He raised Himself from the dead. That's amazing. Only God can raise somebody, but only Almighty God can raise Himself. Are you getting the feel for this? Is it just a story? Is that just a little baby in some pine straw with some 2x4s from Lowe's or Wilson's lumber that we tack together in our front yard to make this little manger? Is it just a story? No. Is it just decorations and Christmas carols? Is it just saying Merry Christmas? No. It's more than a story, because it all comes down to who you believe this baby is. Let me give you one more proof. Remember, after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, when Jesus was in the upper room with the disciples and the believers, and He'd already made one appearance. He just was there. Remember? And it's like the doors were locked. How'd you get in? And He said, it's I. And He showed them His hands, and He showed them His side and His feet. Well, one of the disciples, well, two weren't there. Judas wasn't there because he was what? He's gone. Another disciple wasn't there. Who was missing? Thomas. Thomas comes back, and the other guys are all pumped. They're saying, "You're not going to believe who was here." And so Thomas says, I don't buy that. Unless I see His hands. Unless I put my hand in His side, I will not believe." A few days later, they're all up there again. "Lock the doors, man. We're scared. We don't want to be crucified next. Doors are locked." Here's Jesus. He just enters because He's got that resurrection body like we're going to have when we go to heaven. Dude, that's going to be sharp. I want mine to be 6'4". With lots of hair. Jesus appeared and walks up to Thomas. Did He scold him? Did He fuss at him? "Dude, you don't even believe what they told you about..." No. With all the love that our Lord's got, with those deep chocolate eyes looking at Thomas, He said, "You wanted to put your finger? You want to put your hand in?" Remember what Thomas said? Thomas said, let's read it, "My Lord and my God." Jesus accepted worship that was only intended for Almighty God. But this was okay because of who Jesus was and is. Jesus is Almighty God, who left heaven and became a man and came to this earth so that you had the availability of knowing Him, so that you could be forgiven of your sins. Is it automatic? No, it's available. Whoa. You can know the story, and the story's not enough. One of the big questions is, who's that baby? Are you ready for this? Let's go back to pew one more time. This blows my mind. Of believers, not the people at the mall. This is the people in churches that say, I'm a believer. They say, I'm a believer. You ready? How many of you believe that Jesus was Almighty God? 56%. Now, I got an issue. If somebody says, I'm a believer, talk is cheap. But they also say, yeah, I'm a believer, but I'm not buying that Jesus was Almighty God. Is it even possible for them to be a believer? Let me ask that again. Some of you must be thinking. This is we need some little Jeopardy music going on here. Do, 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 do. They say they're a believer, but they don't believe that Jesus was Almighty God. Is this even possible? No. But these aren't people at the mall. These are people in our churches. Preacher, why are you telling us that? Because there's probably people in this room that are in that 56%. Talk is cheap. Anybody can say Merry Christmas. Anybody can go and buy a tree, hang ornaments on it, you know, be Griswold in the front yard. You know, it used to be Griswold with all the lights. Now, if you're really going to be in it, you got to have these blow-ups, right? You got blow-ups in your front yard, you know? I mean, some of them are like 20 feet tall. You can do all that and miss heaven because of who is in that manger. Are you with me? Let me ask you one more question. Look at the bottom of your page. What do you believe? There's a place in northern Israel called Caesarea Philippi. I love that place. It's weird. It's nasty. Nasty in the sense of there's so many false gods worshiped there. And you get that sensation when you go there. It's just, it's an interesting place, but it's like, Hannah doesn't go in there when she takes it. She says, okay, you're on your own. This one's you. And Jesus had his disciples. They were up in northern Israel. They were just outside of that little town of Caesarea Philippi. And he looks at the disciples and he says, hey, fellas, they're just walking down the road going to this town. He says, who are people saying that I am? Who do men say that I am? Well, some say that you're this one. Some say that you're that prophet. Some say that you're Jeremiah. You know, they had four or five different answers. And then he stopped and he looked at them. And he asked a piercing question that I'm going to ask you this morning. He got real personal. He went from, who do people say that I am? And he said, who do you say that I am? Because it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It's what you say. It's what you believe. Who do you say that I am? Who's in that manger? Is it a little baby? Is it just a little baby that grew up into God? If that's what you believe? Or was that child Almighty, eternal Jehovah God in the flesh? And be careful how you answer this, because that will determine, that's part of an answer that will determine your salvation. Because if that wasn't God, you've got no hope of heaven. If that baby was not Almighty God, you could never be forgiven of your sins. If this child is not Almighty God, there is no such thing as eternity in heaven with Jesus. If that child is not Almighty God, you've got no hope, and I've got no hope. Now, it's one thing to know who you believe this child is. There's a whole nother element to, more than just knowing that this child is Almighty God, it's have I given my life to Almighty God? That's another step that we'll take in 2 weeks. Some more questions that I'm going to ask you. But I'm going to finish with that today. What do you believe? We talked about people at the mall. We talked about people at school, people at work, your neighbors, Griswold. We've talked about a lot of different people. We've talked about celebrating Christmas, knowing the story. We've talked about it's more than a story. But in your life, when it becomes more than a story is when you say, God, I give you my life. Talk is cheap. Anybody can say Merry Christmas. Anybody can say I'm a believer. But talk is cheap. Reality is your life. And the Scripture says that if you give your life to Christ, He will make you into a brand new person. He'll change you. He'll give you a new heart, a new life, a new start. He'll forgive your sins. He becomes your heavenly Father. You become His child. You have a home in heaven. He gives you new peace, new purpose, new priorities, new values. Everything is new. It's one thing to say Merry Christmas. It's one thing to know the story. It's one thing to even admit that this was Almighty God. But have you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's what Christmas is all about. If that baby never gets out of that manger and never goes to the cross and never rises from the dead, and if you never acknowledge that and surrender your life to Him, then Merry Christmas is all about you. Have you done that? See, I'm convinced there's people sitting right here this morning who've never surrendered their life to Christ. You may have been in church all your life. This may be the first time. You may love coming. You may have come to watch your grandchildren or your niece or your nephew. However you're here, my question is for you. What do you believe? Is this child Almighty God? And the answer is yes. Whether you believe it or not, the answer is yes. God didn't ask your opinion. It's not up for a vote, right? We're not taking a survey. Doesn't matter what you believe. That's the truth. He is Almighty God. The question is, have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ?